Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad, just Brian Haydad here with you on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining me here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It would be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Oktok.
That would be a little weird.
I guess Oktok's close enough, though, so it's not that big a deal. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Pip Printing and Signs, they take care of your business easily. They have easy ways for you to drum up more business, to attract more customers. They make it easy, and they also make it easy for you to become a Bulldog Initiative business. If you are a business owner, you already spend money on printing, give your business to Pip Printing and Signs. Tell them you heard about them on Thunder and Lightning. 10% of your sale directly to the Bulldog Initiative. Call my friend Cam Baker. He texted me. I can call him Cam. We're cool like that. 601-499-5216. He will tell him you heard about it on Thunder and Lightning. He'll take care of everything else. You'll be hooked up with a great printing company and 10% going to the Bulldog Initiative. That's a win-win. When you need printing, call Pip today. Father's Day coming up, guys. If you haven't already, make a trip to College Corner to get Dad the maroon and white gear that he wants. Dad is tired of that old banner M polo. He's ready to embrace a new era at Mississippi State. Help him out. Two locations in the Jackson area to serve you. Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant. Loved here in the Restaurant Tyler. Get the pub on the Reese Davis, on the College Football Podcast with Reese Davis and Pete Thamel. Jeff Lebby knows what's up. I'm telling you what's up. You need to head to Restaurant Tyler for lunch, for dinner, for Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is at Restaurant Tyler. Good. Now that I'm back in town, I think a trip to Restaurant Tyler is probably very soon on the horizon for me. Hope to see you there at Restaurant Tyler. 16 Priority One Bank locations throughout Central Mississippi here to serve you. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and let your money start working for you with people who work for you, not for a big corporate bank where they just pile through customers like it's nobody's business. This is a small town community bank feel, but all of the financial services you expect for your money to be fully maximized. Check out the website, PriorityOneBank.com. You can learn about all about their services and all of their locations. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. We are on a time budget here today, folks. I got to be done in 30 minutes. So if I'm under 30, whatever it is, but that's where we got to be. But we got to talk today. Mississippi State advancing through the winner's bracket. Connor Hyzak, another incredible performance. Clutch when it matters. He is becoming a Mississippi State postseason hero very rapidly. And now the Bulldogs will take on the Vanderbilt Commodores tonight as you're listening. A projected 8 p.m. first pitch. We'll see how that goes. In the winner's bracket, and a remarkable day at the SEC tournament as all of the lower seeds won their games yesterday. The loser's bracket is four of the top five teams in the country. You've got Kentucky versus Arkansas. You've got Tennessee versus Texas A&M. Those legitimately could be the top four seeds in the NCAA tournament. North Carolina will have some say in that. But that's an incredible run by the lower seeds. LSU smoking hot right now. South Carolina's playing good baseball. Vanderbilt's starting to figure some things out. And then you have Mississippi State, who has pitched its way to this point. Their pitching has been outstanding through two games over there in Hoover. And now, I don't think they've announced it yet, but Gerangelo likely on the mound today for the Bulldogs. That gives them a great chance to be able to skip the Friday action and go straight to Saturday and back to single elimination where I would imagine Pico Khan is the choice. And then do you go back to Auger on Sunday? Could that be the case? Yeah, he only threw 78 pitches. He could be good to go. I don't know the answer there. What I do know is this. This team is playing really good baseball from a pitching and defense perspective. Now, the hitting, I know it's been clutch from Hizak, but for everybody else, you know, DJ, Hunter Hines, you're not seeing the kind of numbers you want. You're seeing some guys other than them step up. David Mershon has played well. Monty Larry is having a very good tournament. Monty Larry is on pace to be the All-SEC tournament second baseman. So you're still not playing your absolute best baseball, but that makes you scary, right? Because everybody looks at Mississippi State right now and says, "Wow, if they figure it out, if Hines and Jordan start hitting, who's going to beat this team?" And now that Nate Dome is back, that is providing another quality arm out of that bullpen. All of a sudden, you've got six or seven reliable guys. I mean, how many do you really need when you talk about getting into the postseason? You know, once you've got Kyle Steven, you've got Durangelo, you've got Brooks Auger now, Pico Khan, I feel, is reliable. Nate Dome is reliable. Tyson Harden and Tyler Davis are reliable. And then you've got some guys in Schulke and Carson Ligon and you know, maybe to a lesser extent. I don't know. I'm just trying to think my way around this bullpen. Who else would I trust? That might be it, to be totally honest with you. But you've got some guys who can get you some outs. You know, they can pitch an inning. They can come in and do a matchup here or there. It becomes a team that, you know, I don't know what their potential is. I will say this for this team, and I was thinking about this morning. I don't have a grasp on where I think this team would end up at this time. You know, when we were at this point in 21, I was like, this is a College World Series team. 19 was the same way. To me, this team could go to Omaha. They could flame out in their own regional. I don't have a good feel for where they are. And part of that is because their superstars aren't producing. You know, I find it difficult to see a world where Mississippi State is able to advance to Omaha where Jordan and Hines aren't a big piece of the action. But at the same time, I don't see a world where they continue to struggle like this. Those two guys are too talented to continue to struggle like this. So I feel like they're going to get things figured out. And when that happens, then you've got a dangerous lineup all of a sudden. So, again, you know, in a few weeks, if we're on this podcast talking about Mississippi State making its fourth trip to Omaha in the last 6 years, that's not going to completely surprise me. But at the same time, if after, you know, I guess two Mondays from now, we're talking about Mississippi State's season being over, I'm not going to be totally surprised by that either. So a really good performance, though, for Mississippi State in this SEC tournament. And you think about it, coming into the tournament, State had lost its last four SEC tournament games. They had been out, you know, the last four games, going back to 19 and then 21. You know, in 2019, they started out 1-0 and then lost the next two. And then in 21, obviously got two and queued, run ruled both games. Didn't matter because they ended up winning a national title. So, you know, your first experiences with Chris Lemonis in the SEC tournament had been, he didn't seem to give much of a care about it. But I think he knew very clearly that winning was important this time. That if you wanted to host, you had to get some wins. And he's made, you know, some of his decisions have shown you that. The way that he, you know, to pitch, you know, Kyle Steven, kind of a little bit out of order. You know, on full rest, 5 days rest is plenty. But that's not his usual spot to go on Wednesday. And I'll be honest, coming into the tournament, I didn't think he would pitch on Wednesday. But he did because I think Chris Lemonis realized, need this win. Need this win to make things happen, to get things where we want them to be from a hosting perspective. And I thought Steven was really good last night. Left with the lead, obviously gave the, you know, in relief. Tyson Harden gives up a couple of runs, so those are charged to Kyle Steven. But by and large, gave you a very effective start. And then your bullpen was good last night. You know I mentioned Harden, but he was able to get out of that inning that he inherited those two runners. And honestly, it's kind of funny. Both games, Connor Hizak has been the hero, but both games he's made a defensive play that could have made him the GOAT. Could have he had the home run against Ole Miss that he couldn't bring back into the ballpark, and then he may have even taken it over the wall. And then in this game, he takes just a weird route. And again, I never played baseball, so I don't have quite the acumen for it, but that was not the correct path to take to get to that ball, and in doing so, it gets past him, and that allows Braden Montgomery to score and tie the game. And so you're like, I remember thinking at that moment, I was like, well, he did that last night, too. He had the defensive miscue, and maybe he's going to make up for it with his bat, and he did. Just a really fun game for Mississippi. This has been a fun SEC tournament for Mississippi State. Now, granted, they're making you suffer a little bit to get there. You know, you got to go through it a little bit. But these ninth inning wins they're just fun. I mean, that's what college baseball is all about. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing that at Duty Noble Field. And this team, what's funny about this team is if Girangelo gives you a good game today and you can beat Vanderbilt, suddenly you're talking about, you know, this team who was one out away from going out on the first day and getting shut out by one of the worst teams in the conference. All of a sudden, the narrative flips, and they can win this tournament. They could win it. And that would just be really impressive when you consider, you know, how thin their pitching staff had been most of the year to come into a situation where you got to pitch five times in 6 days and or four times in 6 days if you can stay in the winner's bracket and get the win and walk off with a trophy. That would be incredibly impressive. But that's what this team has done this year. They've flipped narratives. My narrative before the season was this team was going to struggle. And it's turned into a team that's been a very pleasant surprise. And they've put themselves into a great position. And then even within the season, there's been some struggles and there's been some opportunities lost for this team. But there's also been some opportunities gained. There's been some games that they won that you thought, wow, I didn't think they were going to win that game. They went on the road and got a game at A&M. They went on the road and got a game at Arkansas. They went on the road and took two from Vanderbilt. Did they give away some games in there? Absolutely they did. But I think that's just kind of the path for a team like this. They're a good baseball team. They're not an elite baseball team. They just don't have the depth in the bullpen to be an elite baseball team. They have an elite rotation in terms of, you know, just having Steven and Girangelo gives you a top-tier rotation. If Auger is going to be what we saw Tuesday night, if Nate Dome is going to come back and give you maybe some starting innings, then yeah, then you're talking about one of the top rotations in the country. They don't have a lot of depth in the bullpen, and right now their superstars aren't producing. And that's my biggest worry right now, is that Jordan and Hines, just for whatever reason, aren't delivering in the clutch. I mean, Jordan has had a couple of opportunities. You know, he comes up bottom of the ninth on Tuesday with Mershon on, and he can't get anything going. He comes up bases loaded last night and can't get anything going. And I think it's got to be mental, because I know it's not a talent issue with Dakota Jordan. That guy is one of the most talented baseball players in college baseball. And it's just got to be something in his head. He's pressing. And maybe, you know, State getting these two wins is going to allow him to relax a little bit and have a big game against Vanderbilt. State would definitely like that. And Hines is the same way. They've just got to be pressing. You know that the talent is there with those two guys. And Hines really had maybe the biggest play of the game last night, beating out that I guess, I don't know if they scored an error or not. I haven't looked at the stats. I guess I should do that. But they the infield hit or the error, however they want to score it. How did they score that? Let's take a look. Scoring. A&M did have an error. Was that it? Yes, throwing error. So there it is. So yeah, but that's a big play. And I mean, Hines is not the most fleet of foot runner. It could have very easily, gone the other way, and he could have been out. But it sets the stage for Hizak's heroics. He's really stepping up at a time where his team needs him the most. All right, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council. That's one I'll remind you that beef, it's what's for dinner. I mean, if you're cooking out this week, it's Memorial Day weekend. Some steaks, great. Burgers, fantastic. Or if you've got the big weekend plan with a brisket on the smoker, that's a great way to spend Memorial Day weekend. If you're looking for any kind of tailgating recipes, cooking out recipes, they've got them at msbeef.org, along with a lot of great information about our beef farmers here in the state of Mississippi. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. I told you about it earlier this week. We've got a new restaurant coming. It's going to be in the old Two Brothers spot. Now, Two Brothers is still Two Brothers. It's still the best place in town for me. But when we're talking about a great new restaurant, I want you to go check this place out. It's going to be open next week. It's called The Older Brother. And it is, if I was going to use the term, gastropub, that's just kind of what we're getting here. It's a very, I don't like the word eclectic because I think sometimes that has like a negative connotation, but it's a sandwich shop that has sandwiches like we do not have. This is not your typical deli, all right? They've got some really cool stuff. They've got a Reuben that's with house-made corned beef and sauerkraut. They've got the croque monsieur, which I'm a big fan of. They've got a shrimp po' boy on Leidenheimer bread, which if you know anything about New Orleans, you know. So this is a place that you definitely want to go check out. And I was told, I received some word that when I eat there, that I got to save room for dessert. The desserts are going to be top-notch. And to my reply was, well, I always save room for dessert. You don't have to worry about that. They're doing a soft opening this week that I have been invited to. So I will get you all of the details and all the information. You know that I'll give you the 411 on the Older Brother. Going to be in the old Two Brothers location. I'll have more information for you very, very soon. I know some of you are asking about a website and a menu. I'll get that to you as soon as I can. You're going to want to check out the Older Brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems, and they've been doing it for 49 years. Yes, my voice did crack. Don't get on to me. I'm still a little hoarse from Tuesday night. If you need technology for your business, give them a call, and then if you need service, you call the same number. Not a 1-800 number, not an out-of-state technician, not a call center that puts you on hold for 30 to 40 minutes. The same number you made the sale with. It doesn't get any easier than that. It doesn't get any better than that at Advantage Business Systems. 601-362-9192 or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you head to Duty Noble next weekend, hint, hint, you need to head to Maroon & Co. You need to check out the incredible selection of Mississippi State merchandise, all of the top brands with the logos that you want, and of course, the Bulldog Initiative line that nobody else has. They are the exclusive provider. If you're looking for a great Father's Day gift, a custom cowbell from the Bellsmith might be the way to go. That is available at Maroon & Co. as well. They have everything a Mississippi State fan needs under one roof. Before you go to the ballpark, you go to Maroon & Co. You all know the story of Saul on the road to Damascus. We've had that moment now with our friend Teddy Cahill. His projections as of this morning, the Starkville Regional, Mississippi State, the 15 seed, with Arizona, I know everybody just had a cold shiver go down their back thinking about Bobby Dalbec. It's going to be okay. Georgia Tech and Nichols State. That is the Starkville Regional. Paired with Chapel Hill, the North Carolina Regional, North Carolina, San Diego, Charleston, and Penn. Somebody tweeted at me like, oh, that's a tough regional for State. You're the 15 seed. You don't get an easy regional. The one seeds and the two seeds, they get the easy regionals. You have to have the hard regional when you're the 15 seed. Arizona is a really good baseball team. Georgia Tech, year in, year out, a baseball team that's in the postseason, although Richard Cross would tell you they are Charmin soft. Nichols State, I need to do a little more research, but didn't they? Remember they had the coach that Mississippi State fans thought might become State's pitching coach, and he was going to bring his ace with him? So I assume that guy's still down there at Nichols State, so that could be a very interesting game one matchup for Mississippi State, if that is indeed the case. But Teddy has updated his board and put Mississippi State in. Now, he talks about that. He bumped out Oregon State. Oregon State lost in the Pac-12 tournament this week to Stanford. They're not eliminated yet, but they're in trouble. They're in trouble. The Pac-12 would not get a host right now under Teddy's latest bracket. Only one West Coast region, and that's Santa Barbara, the 16 seed, where they would have LSU as the 3 seed. Good luck, buddy. So here's what I would say. I see people using the term lock. Guys, Tennessee is a lock to host, okay? North Carolina, College State, or Texas A&M, Kentucky, Arkansas, Clemson, those are the locks to host. All right, a lock means it's done. There's nothing that can happen that can change to take it away. There is a set of circumstances for Santa Barbara, Mississippi State, East Carolina is the 14 seed. Indiana State is the 13 seed. I would say Oklahoma State at the 12 seed. Those five schools, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, are not locks. Now, I think that the circumstances favor them hosting. I think right now they would be predicted to host. But we're not going to pretend for 1 second like there's not a set of circumstances that all of those teams could end up in trouble. East Carolina, if they lose a game in their tournament, they're in trouble. Indiana State lost the first round game in their conference tournament. If they don't win that tournament, they're not going to host. So they would be out. Oklahoma State is probably pretty close to safe, but if they go out early in the Big 12 tournament, they probably need a couple of wins just to be safe. And then Santa Barbara, you know, their RPI is really good, but all the rest of the metrics aren't. And if they decide they only do one West Coast, it could be Corvallis instead of them. And then you have Mississippi State, who has put themselves in a great position. But if they lose their next two, they could be, they're, based on what happens around them, they could be in trouble. So I won't say lock with Mississippi State. I would just say favored. They're favored to host right now, and I think that makes a lot of sense. I think right now Mississippi State would be a host site. I think they've done enough. RPI currently sitting for the Bulldogs in the top 20. They are currently 19th. They went up three spots with their win yesterday. They now have 16 wins in the quad one area. Only three teams have more than them: Tennessee, Texas A&M, and Kentucky, who are three of the top five teams in the nation. Nobody else is even close below them other than Alabama, who isn't going to host. When you look at let's talk about those teams that I just mentioned. East Carolina only has five quad one wins. Oregon State only has three quad one wins. Indiana State, four quad one wins. Santa Barbara, three quad one wins. Who else did I mention there? Is Oklahoma State? Where's Oklahoma State? Where's Oklahoma State? There they are. Nine quad one wins. So State, the positive, if people are positive at the NCAA, 16 quad one wins, better than anybody. The five losses still stand out in quad four. Nobody else has as many, especially in this group that we're talking about. Let's just go through it again. Santa Barbara, only one. Indiana State, only one. Oklahoma State has two. East Carolina has three. Oregon State only has one. And then you have Mississippi State with five. Also should mention that Duke is heating up a little bit as well. They're 22nd in the RPI. They could sneak in. It's one thing I find interesting is that Vanderbilt and LSU have sort of put themselves into the top 25 of the RPI. Unfortunately for them, or fortunately, I guess we should say, because nobody wants to see them host, right? But those two teams with only 13 SEC wins, there's no chance that they're going to host. So as we sit here today, Mississippi State is in as a host. Will they be in tomorrow? I think so, but it's going to take. One thing you have to remember is that things don't happen in a Mississippi State vacuum. It's not just about what state does. You have to consider everything else that's going on in college baseball. The circumstances right now lean towards Mississippi State, lean towards a Starkville regional. That could easily change tomorrow. If State loses to Vanderbilt today and everybody else I just mentioned wins, things change around a little bit. So I would say that it's like 99% that State's going to host right now. I mean, it's really, really close to being a lock, but the door is still just slightly open for things to go badly. A win today over Vanderbilt, currently 21 in the RPI, to me, that would be, it's over. It is I would say lock with a Mississippi State win over Vanderbilt. They lose. It could be a problem. So we'll just continue to keep our eyes on everything and see what happens. All right. So we're going to go ahead and call it a day because, like I said, I am on a time budget here. We got Jim Ellis's local sports show is about to take place in my studio. And so I got to get out of here. So if you're that guy who has a problem with the shortness of podcasts, you can just shut the hell up because it's just got to be that way today. All right, so Robbie and I will be back. Robbie is not here because he's headed down to Pearl to cover high school baseball, the high school baseball state championships. But he'll be back with me tonight for Friday's podcast, which we will record after the Mississippi State Vanderbilt game. Guys, thanks for sorry for the late start, but thanks for tuning in. Appreciate you guys. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.